Well, I want to talk to you today about the uniting of the bride, about judgment to false shepherds, about David's persecution being over. Just a bunch of good stuff. Yeah, and if, I'm going to start out here with a revelation given to Eve Brast on the 14th of this month. I dreamed that I was dwelling with the local UBM brethren in a long, narrow lodging made of wood and timbers that was built into the side of a large foothill along a rock wall that formed a ridge on the right side of this hill. And of course, you know that the righteous are always on the right side. Always on the right side of the Lord and with the Lord and so on and so forth. Like the sheep, right? The hill came to a rounded point at the top, and the left side of it sloped down fairly steeply into a valley, because that's where the people on the left live. They have a low estate. The valley of low estate of the people that live on the left, right? The lodging we were in had no roof nor outer walls, and the inner walls were just all wall frames made up of 2x4s so that we could see one another at all times. Transparency. Yep, if people got to hide things, you've heard about this from the government, I'm sure, transparency. If people have to hide things, there's something wrong. If you can't live out in the open, there's something wrong. And the people who are on the left have a lot to hide. And they're afraid of the truth. So is the devil. He's afraid of the truth. He's afraid of the light. He's like a cockroach that always runs to the dark. Right? As I was observing everyone going about their work in the lodging and their fellowship one with another, Michael Hare came up to me, and he said, "We are just praising the Lord because David's persecution is over." Wonder what that could mean. Well, I think it could mean that the man-child ministry is very close. As he was saying this, I saw David Eales, I believe is the type of the Davids, coming from the right along a narrow wooded bridge that was elevated up above where Michael and I were standing. And the bridge was anchored to the rock wall. Well, you know, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And he's the wall of sanctification. And he is the bridge between the throne of God and us. He's the mediator between God and man, right? And you notice that David is coming from above, from the throne, as in Revelation 12, where the man-child is caught up to the throne. And of course, this is the job of the man-child Davids here. She said, "David looked tired, but walked confidently in long, steady, forward-leaning strides with a slight grin on his face." Yep, I bet. He was dressed in light blue jeans and a light blue shirt, meaning heavenly, in the sunlight. Dark blue is kind of at night, you know, but light blue is kind of during the sunlight, right? S-O-N, light. That, he said, that were tattered in places and dingy with soot from the battle. He looked as if he had been fighting fires. Michael then said, "You know, David has been under much persecution all these many years, but we have been victorious." Amen. Praise be to God. the Lord spoke to me here that as Daniel came out of the lion's den, where he had been protected by God, and his persecutors were then thrown into the lion's den to be devoured, so it will be with the man-child Davids and their slanderous persecutors. Then the scene changed, and I was climbing up the rock wall near the top of the hill, and there was a bunch of short, dead grass at the top. I then low crawled, like they showed me how to do in basic training for the army. That is when you're approaching the enemy camp, right? Because she was going to the top and the other side was the enemy camp, right? And when I got to the edge of the grass, I was able to see all the way down the left side. In other words, the enemy side of the hill. I saw two large, very unusual bomb craters on the enemy side, right? The one closest to the top of the left side of the hill was larger, and the one further down than the one further down the slope. Well, that said something to me right off. This is the greater judgment to the heads on the left than to those under them who were deceived by them. And to whom much is given, much is expected, right? And further up the mountain represents being in leadership, right? The very top of the mountain, like Mount Zion, is where the leadership dwells, right? And these two craters, they were both black in the center, brown further out, and a mustard yellow towards the outer edges. The centers all the way out to the yellow part were completely melted from extreme heat, and the yellow portions looked like a dried up lake bed full of cracks. Well, this said something to me too. Some will be in the center of God's judgment, while for others who are less guilty, it will not be as bad. But to whom much is given, much is expected. And once the leaders are judged, the deceived under the elect will be delivered. Those who were deceived but are elect will be delivered. Amen? Ain't God good? He got a plan. Then the scene changed again, and I was sitting on the maroon couch in David and Michael's house. Again, there was a wall frame there built with 2x4s right down the middle of the living room where the wood stove is. And the Lord showed me that this represents the division that came in UBM, which can be seen right through for those who are wise. And you know, the Lord still considers some of them people, even though they're in apostasy and in faction, belonging to UBM. And you know what? He's going to do something about that. And he's saying it in this revelation. David and Michael were standing and talking in the living room where Belinda came out of the restroom. And she, in other words, she was getting cleaned up and out. Into the hallway, she was wearing a white shirt and a white head covering, representing righteousness and submission. She was gesturing with her hands and forearms in an urgent manner, like you would when earnestly praying to the Lord. In English, the meaning of the name Belinda is very beautiful. She said, "Brother David, Brother Michael, I have a demon, and it has to go. Will you pray for me? Well, although Belinda has lived righteously and has never been connected to the faction, she serves as a type of the bride that will come out from among them because of her name. Her name is why the Lord is using her here. It means very beautiful, but it was also an old German name derived from the word snake or serpent. And in other words, from serpent to beautiful fits a bride that's coming out of the faction. And also, Belinda recently joined us here, like some of the faction will. She also came out from under the law, like many of the faction have fallen under through their false leadership. Something else very cute, I would say, Lakeisha had just received a dream of seeing me, and I was kind of sad. And when I asked what was wrong, I said, there are no more demons to be cast out here. In other words, I worked myself out of a job. That sounds good to me. The bride is in the final stages of being cleaned up for the coming of the Lord in the man-child ministry and the job of bringing salvation to the rest of the body, as the book of Esther clearly shows us. I love that book of Esther. Oh man, it is so lovely. And there's some really good news in there, folks. It's coming too. It's coming. Well, Belinda asked for a verse for her regarding this, and it showed her as a type of the bride, Esther 5:2. And it was so. When the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And her finger came down on the phrase, she obtained favor in his sight. Oh, praise the Lord. We believe a bride is going to come out from the faction, and because they receive favor in his sight. And this text is all about when the bride went to the king to petition him for the people of God, who were threatened with death from the beast, Haman, that is, and was given authority to help them stand. Oh boy, in the days to come, saints, people of God are going to be under persecution from the beast and the threat of death. And just like in Esther, the Lord is going to give them authority to stand for their lives. He's going to give them understanding that the church doesn't really have today. You know, the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of understanding, right? For lack of knowledge. And that's so true. So many people, they pass away because they don't know how to exercise faith in the promises of God. And they don't expect to see anything but trouble and death in the tribulation period because they don't know how to stand. But you know, the bride is going to come with great wisdom. The man-child is going to teach it to her, and the bride, being a much larger group of people, will be able to pass this on. Remember what John the Baptist said? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And here were these disciples all following Jesus, you know, the first fruits unto Jesus. Not the first fruits. He was the first fruits, but they were the first fruits unto Jesus. And they were in turn sent out. Praise be to God. God's got a wonderful plan to spread the word. He's got his two witnesses, his corporate body of two witnesses, to send out and to teach the people, to raise up overseers and raise up leadership, the fivefold ministry, etc. Well, David and Michael laid their hands on her shoulders as she turned and faced the east side of the house. In other words, she is facing the coming of the sun, got our eyes on the sun. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. And that, of course, is causing the sun to come in her life. Praise be to God. They began to pray in tongues and bind the demon, and I joined them in prayer while still on the couch. Then the Spirit prompted me to step through the 2x4 wall frame. And this wall here represents a division in that has been in previous dreams between the factious and the righteous. And I'll share that with you in a few minutes. But this is showing a time just ahead when the bride will reach out to them. And by the grace of God, there is a separation there. A factious man after first and second admonition refuse. There is a separation that must be there until the Lord is bringing repentance to them and ready to bring them in. Okay? Anybody that repents is obviously welcome among the saints, but people that live in faction are not. And cannot come among the saints. There would defile the body, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So she said, I came up behind Belinda. I believe both of these are types of the bride, but on two different foundations. I came up behind Belinda and pressed my right thumb into the base of her skull, where her spine met the vertebrae in her neck. Well, I thought about this, and it's a place where the nervous system should be controlled by the head. And, of course, the head is supposed to be Jesus. We're supposed to lose our head for His head, right? Amen. She cringed a little and whispered, ouch. The demon was hindering the connection of the head/mind to the body. As Jesus said, they know not what they do. There is not real intelligence among the factious folks. We've called them, you know, quite a bit the stupid demon. Not the people, but the demon makes people stupid, not being able to understand things, you know. Then Michael hollered, go in the name of Jesus. And then the demon flew out of the front of her head through her face in terror. She was so joyous at her deliverance after that, and then I woke up. I believe that what this is saying is those delivered will be humble and pure and full of joy. Some of y'all probably remember Sue Levesque's dream where the waters of the flood of death to self had to have finished their work and drained out before the marriage feast could come. And this is so that some of those delivered of the faction demon can come out from under these baptismal waters to resurrection life and be in the bride. I've told you that some of these people have just gone under this for God's purpose of humbling them. And when they come out, they'll be better than they ever were. God is like that. He is capable of bringing something very good out of something very bad. I mean, we've all come out of the world, and we've come out of humanism and into Christ. And praise be to God. I asked for a verse for the demon that came out of her face and received Ezekiel 1:10. As for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man, and they four had the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had also the face of an eagle. And she said, my finger fell on, as for the likeness of their faces. And this is what I believe. I believe that the stages of growth from man to lion represent kingship and authority. and to the ox, representing sacrifice and strength to do work, and to the eagle, representing overcoming the world. God brings us through these phases, and praise be to God. We have to go through the sacrificial stage. You know, oxes were sacrificed in the Bible, and etc. I asked for a verse concerning who Belinda represents in this dream and received Psalm 105 and 14. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Yes, I tell you, the Lord is going to hold these people in the bride highly. He is going to protect them. He is going to bless them to bring great knowledge and wisdom and blessing to the people of God. And we got some great days coming in the midst of very, very bad days, I would say. Belinda, this is Eve's word here. She said, Belinda could represent the bride's final corporate cleansing. And when I asked for for verses for this, I received Isaiah 66:19. My finger fell on the words, and I will set a sign among them. Isaiah 66:19 says, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send such as escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, that draw the bow, to Tuban, to Javan, Tubal, and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. Then I asked for a confirming verse, and received the text that Don got this morning, and that was Luke 5 and 6. My finger was on the words, and when they had done this, Luke 5 and 6 says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets were breaking. Well, the cleansing of the bride and the unity of the bride, as we're going to see, will be used to bring the great revival. The great revival. And it is going to be awesome. Well, bringing the unity of the bride is common between this dream and the next dream that Eve received. And also that evil shepherds persecuted David in the first dream, but are now in dream two to reap what they have sowed at the hands of the beast, as the sheep are returned to David. Psalm 35 and 8 says, let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. With destruction let him fall therein. Psalm 57 and 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. They are fallen into the midst thereof themselves. Selah. Isaiah 43 and 4, since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead, and peoples instead of thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Every one that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. Psalm 124 and 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. And this is what is coming. Those that have sown faction for evil purposes, self-aggrandizement, evil gain, will find it coming back on their heads. And those whom they have trapped with the snare of faction will escape. And I want to share this second dream with you. And we called it rats who spoil the word are destroyed. And Eve said, I was standing in a long, narrow, rectangular-shaped kitchen that had highly polished wood flooring. And she said, a kitchen represents a place where spiritual food is prepared and stored in order to feed people. And, of course, you know, that's what UBM has been doing. We've received signs and wonders for years to prepare in certain ways with, you know, TV programs, radio programs, books, audios, videos, whatever, you know, to prepare to teach the brethren, to give some food to the people of God. We prepared in our kitchen, right? And she said, I was looking at the wooden cabinets that were above the countertop to the left of the stove. Just then I looked to my right as Belinda walked up to me and stood at my right side. Well, here it is again, folks. This represents the unity of the bride, just like in the dream that I just shared, standing together against the enemies of the kingdom. We watched as this very tall and muscular black man, in this case it represents the beast leadership in the United States, began to aggressively open the cabinet doors, starting at the ones closest to the stove and working his way down towards the left. He was furious because he heard rats crawling around behind the cabinet doors. He was a fearsome sight, but Belinda and I weren't fearful of him at all. Now, this represents the beast system that the apostate leadership will go into captivity or be killed under. And when he opened the cabinet doors that were the second to the last from the end of the kitchen, I saw two black rats among the bags of grains that were stored in the cabinets. And I said to Belinda, oh, look, there's Paul and Vicky. The stored grain represents the word stored up to feed the brethren during the tribulation. Kind of like Joseph's and the man-child stored up, Joseph as the man-child stored up grain for the 7 years of famine. And history repeats. The harlot first crucifies the righteous, then they are destroyed by the beast. That's all the way through the Bible. It's not going to change now. And that's shown in Revelation chapters 17 and 18. And Eve said, rats are filthy beasts that spoil the grain and carry disease with them. They chew through the bags and scatter and tread upon the grains with their feet. They also urinate and defecate over wherever they go, like the greedy shepherds in Ezekiel 34, trampling the grass, muddying the waters that the sheep eat and drink from. Isaiah 56:11 says, yea, the dogs are greedy. They can never have enough. And these are shepherds that cannot understand. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his gain, from every quarter. Well, she said to Belinda, oh, look, there's Paul and Vicky. The black man was very angry at these rats and was trying to snatch them out from among the bags of grain before they ruined them. You know, let me say something about the beast. The Lord takes credit for vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. They all work for Him in one form or another. The beast in the Bible was raised up by God. He said so. Every one of them, whenever God's people were in apostasy, were raised up by God to bring the rebels to their crosses, to destroy their works, to destroy them if they didn't repent. Well, before they're able to destroy the grain, the provision for God's people, the beast is going to destroy them. And I do pray that I know that this is not just talking about these two. It's talking about a lot more people. But I do pray that some of them will repent, especially the people that were in leadership and are still doing their evil works. As we have been told many times, the apostate leadership is going into captivity, just like Zedekiah, who was blinded and then killed by the beast. Well, they kept running and trying to hide among the bags of grain to escape from the black man's hands. And Eve said, "Father will stir up the fury of the beast against the apostates and cause great persecution to fall on them because they are muddying the waters that his sheep are drinking from." And then I woke up, and the Lord led me to Ezekiel 33. And as I typed this, I was looking for the text about the greedy shepherds that is actually in chapter 34. But Ezekiel 33, she found in verse 11, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Evil is described in the Bible. That's the only place we know the difference between evil and good. A person who has a conscience, of course, can obviously run from the evil and run to the good. The Lord is planning on destroying a people who refuse to repent. But I do know, and the Lord has shown us over and over, that a people among them will repent. Judgment is coming, and some will quickly repent. Verse 14 goes on to say, "And again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he had taken by robbery," oh boy, "walk in the statutes of life, committing no iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die." And Eve makes this point. She said, "Father is serious about Paul Rymel returning the silver that he stole that was sent to the UBM brethren. It will not be overlooked by him." I agree 100%. We sent warning dreams to him from the Father about going into captivity for his theft, and he ignored them. Of course, he doesn't believe in dreams anymore. In fact, he doesn't believe in much of anything that he's learned here. Like Judas and some earlier factious leaders, he stole from his own friends, and he betrayed the one who gave his life for him, and reaped demon possession for it too. Haman, his house, and all that he had, including the money he kept to destroy the people of God, was given to Esther, the bride. And so shall it be. And God is able to do that. And we will soon see it done. And Ezekiel 34 is a prophecy against Israel's evil shepherds and what his plan is to restore his people that have been scattered by them. Ezekiel 34:1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say unto them, even to the shepherds, Thus saith the Lord, Woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Now I want to say something. In the midst of this text, he speaks about the end time David ministry. The one flock, one shepherd that God said he would do for his people in the end times. So we know that this is addressing people in the end times. Okay? Even Israel here, we know that Israel in the New Testament are those who are circumcised in heart and not in flesh. He is not all Israel who is of Israel, the Bible clearly says, and people will ignore it, but that's what you need to see here, is what is going on in the church. Anybody that's not in the church is lost. But in the church, of course, there are physical Israelites and spiritual Israelites. And the Lord demands repentance and truth among them. And those that don't will receive heavier judgment, just as we spoke of before. Woe to the evil shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? A shepherd is to sacrifice his life for those sheep. You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you feed not the sheep. And that's exactly what's going on here. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought back that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with rigor have you ruled over them. It's a big ego trip for these people. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. You know, the shepherds that only do that, scatter the sheep from the food, destroy the sheep, God is going to require it at their hand. And they became food to all the beasts of the field and were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my sheep were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And there was none that did search or seek after them. The purpose was just an ego trip. They really weren't going to sacrifice their life to make sure the sheep were fed. All they wanted to do was be fed. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord, for as much as my sheep became a prey, and my sheep became food to all the beasts of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my sheep, but the shepherds fed themselves. They fed their ego. They fed not the sheep. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my sheep at their hand. Now this just means they will be held guilty before God for the spiritual death of the sheep that they scattered. The Lord is going to make these shepherds pay for this and cause them to cease from feeding the sheep. And they have done that. They have not fed the sheep from the beginning. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. And I will deliver my sheep from their mouth. This is a good word. That they may not be food for them. I've actually had people come out of their meetings, more than one witness, who said, Oh, we don't study the Bible anymore. We just sing songs and eat food. But, hey, they haven't even held together that now. It's all fallen apart. They were just scattered. And verse 11 talks more about the good shepherd. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And will seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock, in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered abroad. So will I seek out my sheep. And I will deliver them out of all the places whither they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Oh, praise God. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, bring them into their own land. You know, there's a spiritual parable about the Jews of being scattered into the nations whenever they sinned and coming back to their own land whenever they repented. And the land, of course, is the land of Israel, the land where they stand on the promises, the land of the promises, right? And so the Lord is going to bring back his people who, once again, respect his word and stand on his promises. They've been like a beast, like Nebuchadnezzar, eating the grass of the field and devouring flesh. But the Lord is going to bring them back to his mind and restore them. And I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the watercourses. Some of these sheep are starving to death. They're hungry. They can know it. They can feel it. But they don't know what to do about it. And in all the inhabited places of the country, and I will feed them with good pasture. And upon the mountains of the height of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie down in a good fold, and on fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Amen. Some people are just going to be kind of like Belinda, just so joyful. And those that get delivered are going to be fed, and they're going to be happy. And God is going to make a safe place for them. Verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord. How is the Lord going to shepherd his sheep? Well, he's coming in a body of the Son of David, just like he did before, to shepherd his sheep. Jesus was the one flock and one shepherd, with one shepherd, right, in Jesus' time. So, once again, it's going to be one flock with one corporate body shepherd, in whom dwells the Word of God and the anointing. Remember, the Lord said he was going to come to us as the latter rain. He's coming as that anointing. He's not coming to rapture the saints anywhere. That's not in the Word. He's coming in that anointing to his people. He wants his people ready to meet him. And that anointing is going to flow right out of the man-child's mouth. Right from the throne of God, right out of the man-child's mouth. And it's going to go into disciples and raise them up into the image of Jesus Christ. No credit to the body. The credit goes to the Lord. This is his way. He's hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. I will seek that which was lost. I will bring back that which was driven away, and I will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which is sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. Yes, this is that evil leadership. I will feed them in justice. Now, you know, we all need and desire grace and mercy. Pray that you don't get justice. But these people, because of what they've done, because of their unforgiveness and criticism and anger and slander, they're not forgiven. So what they can have is justice. And that's not a good thing. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, and rams and he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture? You know, these people did feed upon good pasture, very good, which made them responsible to be obedient to it, and they just flat out refused to obey everything that they were taught because of selfish ambition. So the Lord says, seemeth it a small thing unto you to have fed upon the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture. They have to make everything that they were taught because they have such anger because of the demons that are in them. I don't mind demons being angry with me. I think it's a good thing. I'm happy that they don't like me. I'm not happy that the people in whom they dwell don't like me. But that was their fault. They failed. And they received the just recompense for their failure to obey God's word. But they are treading down the pasture. They are derogatory towards anything that is truth. In other words, they have gone right back to Babylon. And they have drunk the clear waters, and they have, but you must foul the residue with your feet. You know, our feet are how we walk. When people walk in wickedness and teach by their example other people to be in wickedness, a little leaven is leavening the whole lump. And these people who have professed themselves to be teachers are going to receive the heavier condemnation for it. And as for my sheep, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet. And they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. In other words, they have learned from these evil men's examples. Therefore, thus saith the Lord unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Well, the fat sheep are those that are feeding themselves, and the lean sheep are starving to death because they don't have a shepherd to feed them. And whose fault is that? Well, the Lord is holding these people responsible. And because you thrust with the side and with the shoulder and push all the diseased with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. In other words, they didn't fix the sheep that they destroyed. They just scattered them. They couldn't stand them after they got them. They lusted after them, and when they got them, they couldn't stand them. They can't stand each other because it's evil. It's unforgiveness. It's criticism. It's judgment. Therefore will I save my flock. Oh, glory be to God. They shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. And this is that corporate body, man-child David, that they're talking about here. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Well, this was a long time after David. And it prophesies of the end times, when God raises up his end time David, which he said there would never be a world without this. And so where are they? Look around. They're here. We'll soon see them. And they will be one flock with one shepherd. They'll be Jesus and the man-child. God will destroy denominationalism, sectarianism, racism, which are just larger forms of the factionalism that we've endured. The beast will unite true Christians by this pressure, by this need of them being united in the face of this terrible beast that's out to destroy them. The beast will unite true Christians, and the rest will be destroyed as the harlot. And then he talks about that covenant of peace he'll make with those who are righteous. And come under the David ministry. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell securely in the wilderness. Can you imagine? So many people are so worried about the tribulation, and we're told that the wilderness is the tribulation in Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 17. It both speaks of the wilderness as that 7-year tribulation. They shall dwell securely in the wilderness. Now, God can do that. And He can bring the unrighteous under judgment. He can take your name out of the beast's computer and put their name in your place. Did you hear what I'm saying? I know this. The Lord has told me this. And sleep in the woods. They will dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places around about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in its season. Yep. The former rain and the latter rain. Right? And we know that in the first, according to Joel, there will be those who've never received the former rain that will receive it. And there will be those who receive the latter rain. And I do believe that halfway through that tribulation, that latter rain will be poured out on the body also. In the beginning, it's going to be on the first fruits. And I will cause the shower to come down in its season. There shall be showers of blessing. Well, you know, some people think because they speak in tongues that they have the fullness of the former rain. But I don't believe you'd really believe that if you thought about it very much and read the book of Acts. There's a lot of people that speak in tongues that don't have the gifts offered in 1 Corinthians. And a lot of them don't have the power. And a lot of them don't use it. And they just don't walk in that kind of an anointing. Sure, speaking in tongues is part of it, but so are the rest of the gifts, and so is the power, and so is everything, you know. So, just think about it. If you get what they got, you'll do what they did, as I've always said. And if you do what they did, you'll get what they got. So, basically, the former rain is going to be poured out on a people who believe they've received all that they need, and on a, or have believed that, you know, and on a people who've never yet received it, because most Christians have not received it in the first place. So, it'll be poured out upon them. And the latter rain on the man-child ministry in order to put people's attention upon them so that they can teach and heal and deliver and multiply the fishes and the loaves and, you know, all the things that the man-child ministry is going to do according to type, right? Hallelujah. And the tree of the field shall yield its fruit. Why, sure. With the former rain and the latter rain, it's going to be very healthy. And the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land, in their land, in their land. Amen. There's security when you're dwelling in the place you're supposed to be with God. In the land of Israel. The land of Israel was created for Israel to live in. The land of the church was created for the church to live in, but most people don't live there. They live like the world. They live in the world and of the world and have more affinity for the world than they do for the kingdom. Otherwise, they would read the Bible very diligently to find out what that land looks like and how they're supposed to be living, right? And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. Oh, praise God. And, you know, the sheep have been plundered by these false shepherds throughout the world. Like I said, in denominationalism, in sectarianism, and they divided up the flock for themselves, you know. In racism, too, which God can't stand either. and all ways of dividing the body. They pick out certain things that they do in order to make themselves great and everybody else small, and they make themselves a denomination. And if a denomination of people aren't forgiven because they don't forgive, they're in big trouble. He said, "And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of their yoke." Did you notice that? They're not going to know that He is the Lord until He has broken the bars of their yoke. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know much of nothing, but he ate that grass because that's what he desired. You know, he had an intelligence before that, but here he had none. He ate the grass, and he, which was a symbol of him devouring much flesh. And so now the Lord, the Lord taught him a lesson. When he came out of that, he was so grateful to the Lord and so humbled to the God, the real God. And I want to tell you the same thing is about to happen to a lot of people. "And have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them." He is going to deliver the people from the faction, from the denominationalism, from the sectarianism, from the racism. He's going to deliver His people from that. "And they shall no more be a prey to the nations, neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them." I mean, God's people are being devoured right and left. They're gobbled up by the nations. They're a part of the nations. If you notice in the book of Daniel, he saw nations as these beasts. He described them as these beasts. And the people who have gone out of their land into the beast land because of their apostasy and taken captive, they're under the thumb of the old man. Because guess who rules over them in these foreign lands? The old man, the wicked. Right now, God's people are learning that America isn't God's country. And they shouldn't be pledging allegiance to it. But they're learning, because God usually turns the heart of the beast against the harlot to teach them a lesson. They're going to learn that lesson. They're going to learn that their kingdom is not of this world. It says, "But they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up unto them a plantation for renown. And they shall be no more consumed with famine in the land, neither bear the shame of the nations any more. And they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them. And that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. And ye, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, says the Lord." So when He delivers them out of the hand of the bondman, when He delivers them from the yoke, they'll know that He's the Lord. That's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He knew who was the Lord. But he didn't know that while he was eating the grass of the field. And I want to talk to you again about a revelation that Belinda had back in 2011. And this was after the faction began, and God gave her this revelation. It's all about that. I told you I was going to share a little with you about that wall of separation there, right? And she said, "At 4:30 a.m. this morning, I had a vision. It was dark, but in the darkness, I saw a house. The house was shining very brightly on the right side." There's that right side again. "It appeared to be glowing. I saw people gathered in a circle. They were very tall, and they seemed at peace. They were praying and singing praises to the Lord." Well, this is the UBM house, and on a larger type, of course, the house of God. But they were on the right side because they were true sheep, which Jesus put on the right. And that side was shining brightly because of the glory of God there. And they were tall because they were big and mature in the ways of the Lord. And then Belinda goes on. She said, on the left side of the house, it was very dark, and smoke was coming out of the walls. The people looked like dwarves. They were angry and agitated, and they kept pacing back and forth. Well, the left is, of course, those who act as goats, which Jesus put on his left. It was very dark because they are walking in darkness. Smoke is coming out of the walls because the judgment of God is upon it. And they were dwarves because they have been stunted in their growth and are small and immature in the ways of the Lord. And by the way, those years that these people have spent that way are years that they didn't spend growing in the Lord. And these are years that these false shepherds are going to be held guilty for. They are angry and agitated because they are full of faction and anger and slander and wrath, etc. They're pacing back and forth because they are nervous and stirred up by these spirits. Belinda said there was a door that separated the two sides of the house. There were no handles on either side of this door. Well, God has made a separation between the righteous and the factious. They may not get at the truly righteous who obey His word to separate from them, and we may not minister to them, for God has given them over to this for now. She went on to say the people on the left were angry because they could not figure out how to get this door open to get at the other side. Well, the goats have been bitter and angrily trying to get at the righteous with their slander. And they wanted to stop those people from singing and praising the Lord, Belinda said. Yeah, the demons hate peace. They hate praise. Praise is very painful to them, but it is common among the righteous. And then Belinda said there was a crack about three-quarters of the way down through the center of the house. It looked like, at any time, the house would split apart. And, of course, this is the spiritual earthquake that we heard the Lord was sending, and He did send it, and it came. And it brought separation to those who walk in sin from the refuge in the bride. The separation will soon be completed and physical, and those who do not repent will leave our house as a purified house. And as you know, the tares are gathered together into bundles to burn them, so that the righteous will stand forth purified in the kingdom of God. And God sends false prophets and false leaders to do that, because the sheep of the Lord hear His voice, they follow Him, they won't listen to another. So the false shepherds come and they are able to draw away sheep with the lusts of the flesh. And this purifies the body that is left, just as the Lord Jesus said would happen. And He said He would send forth His angels and gather out of His kingdom those that cause stumbling and cause iniquity, you know. And the righteous will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. And the Lord said to me as I meditated on this that His foot was pushing down on the left side of the house. Looks like possibly there is a quarter of the way left to go in this revelation, but as the weight of their sin becomes greater, they will break off. That is, those who don't repent. Father has been showing us for several years through dreams and visions and prophecy that an army of demons would come and make war with UBM and myself in an attempt to destroy our influence on earth. But at the same time, we were shown that we would become greater in holiness and power and ministry. And these prophecies back in 2011 are coming to pass. There's absolutely no doubt in the people that are here. And no doubt in my mind either. God is awesome. He has done an awesome work. Oh, praise be to God. Well, that don't stop the people on the outside from doing what they do, you know. And Belinda said, I noticed that the right side of the house was firmly on the foundation. And whereas the left side of the house had no ground under it. I thought to myself, if that house splits all the way, the left side is going to fall and there's nothing to catch it. Well, that's because they're not founded on the rock of God's Word, but on the sand of the abyss. And Jesus said concerning the fall of that house, great was the fall thereof. Matthew 7:24-27. And unforgiveness takes away a person's grace. You can't live without grace. Criticism and anger takes away a person's grace. It takes away their forgiveness. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. It takes it away. If you don't repent, you'll lose your life. And the Lord, through this revelation today, is calling. He's calling out to His people who are in bondage to these evil shepherds and their spirits to repent and come out from among them so that you're not a partaker in the judgments that fall upon them. Revelation 18. And we were told by the factious leaders and emails and in front of the assembly that they would leave peaceably, but they lied because they had an eye on carving up UBM for themselves from the cover of darkness, which they tried. The only thing they got was more dwarves. God also had His plan to separate those who could give in to these lusts, and so He has. And we pray constantly for our brethren that they would come to repentance, and we believe that the majority of them will. God's doing a great work, saints. There is a tremendous pressure coming down the road to bring to repentance God's wayward people. Tremendous pressure. The fear of God is going to come upon people. Here's a prophecy that was sent to me by Glenda Linkhouse. And it's a good one. Soon, my children, an event will happen in America that will shake the people up. My people will be shaken too, only so far as they are away from me in some area. The impression I got here was only in areas that you are not trusting the Lord in. The lost will be shaken to the core, and those with softer hearts will seek me then. Oh, glory be to God. You know, saints, this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. God is wise and He is just. And He's going to make a demonstration that is going to scare a lot of people. Remember, He says the wicked cometh in the stead of the righteous. A lot of people are about to die. Now, when a Christian dies, that's not a problem. You know, and a moment later, they're very happy. So, but when the wicked die, of course, it's a big problem for them. But for the living who have gone through this and seen this, they understand the fear of God. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It is necessary to restore the beginning of wisdom, for many of God's people don't even have the very foundation of wisdom. And they don't fear God. They don't understand. He wrote the book. And He wrote the book in order to save them It's the owner's manual, right? And his plan is to save his people. You know, if we're going to be held accountable to the book, just as it says, for the words that are written there, just as it says, wouldn't it behoove every one of us to study that book every day to see how it is to live on the right side of God? It's an eternal thing. How can people disregard the book when they say they believe it and they don't know what it says? What a terrible thing. My people are destroyed, the Lord says, for lack of that book in their mind and in their knowledge, right? And Glenda went on to say, prepare for how you will minister to them for me. For my shaking is coming to this nation, and it will be bigger than before. For I desire to have their attention. Amen. I do believe, like after 9-1-1, the people gave attention until they realized that it wasn't the end. And then they filed back out of the churches and went back to doing what they were doing. Well, for a lot of people this time, that is not going to be possible. God also is bringing down the churches. He's going to bring the leadership of the churches into captivity. You say, how could that be? You're about to find out. She went on to say, at present, the evil one has their attention, and they fear not what I might do to them. They do not think on eternity or believe in damnation. Wow. At present, the evil one has their attention. Wonder which evil one he's talking about. Well, yes, we know the devil, but there's a couple of evil ones that rule quite heavily, too. But at any rate, everybody's attention is on all the evil instead of on the good. You must get your attention on the good. You must put the good into your heart. You must do that. This is more important than you knowing all things about the evil. Put the word in your heart. Walk in obedience to God. Amen. They believe not my word, so they do not seek my face. And when this shaking takes place, do not fear, my children, but go immediately into your prayer closets and pray for these lost ones. Pray that this urgency would increase, and they would seek me with all their hearts, that I might save them. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Amen. A good word. And Deborah Horton sent this word to me that she received yesterday. 2 Samuel 7:11. And as from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will cause them to rest from all thine enemies, cause thee to rest from all thine enemies. Moreover, the Lord telleth thee that the Lord will make thee a house. Yes. And I'll just read to you the context of that. 2 Samuel 7:9. Now therefore, thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be prince over my people, over Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and I will make thee a great name, like unto the name of the great ones that are in the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place. Yep, we have to come out of the world. We have to be separate from the world and its ways. We have our own kingdom. Amen. And be moved no more neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore. You know, once you get into your kingdom, which is in heavenly places, there is a lot of freedom, there is a lot of protection, and there is a lot of blessing. But if you dwell in the world, on the earth, so to speak, the beast is going to deceive those that dwell upon the earth and be able to kill those Christians who are upon the earth. But he curses those who are in heavenly places, right? Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as at the first. Well, I think we've seen the first. In verse 11, and as from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will cause thee to rest from all thine enemies. Moreover, the Lord telleth thee that the Lord will make thee a house. And when thy days are fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. This is the son of David, the prince of peace, right? Solomon, that shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You know, the son of David that is in his bowels is the one who is meant to rule. He is the one that represents Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. He's coming to build his temple. He's coming to do this work. I hope you're catching the symbolism here. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be made sure forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words, and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Well, amen. And also Miss Robin sent this word that she received, Isaiah 13 and 14. And it shall come to pass that as the chaste roe, and as sheep that no man gathereth, they shall turn every man to his own people, and shall flee every man to his own land. Amen. But I'm going to share the text context with you, starting in verse 8 on through that verse. And they shall be dismayed. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall look in amazement at one another. Their faces shall be faces of flame. You know, there is fiery trials coming upon God's people who have not already been through the fire, actually. Fiery trials are coming to consume the flesh so that they can live for God. This will turn some people around, and others will become more evil. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Now, we're using the day of the Lord here as a symbol, but the physical day of the Lord, of course, comes at the end of the tribulation period when God judges the wicked for how they treated God's people. But I want to tell you that the reason this can be a symbol for now is because he's going to judge the people for how they've treated his people. In other words, the same thing is going on at the beginning of the tribulation period. It's going to go on at the end of the tribulation period, but much greater then than now. The day of the Lord cometh, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation, and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. I believe many people are going to die in a short period of time. And I believe that God's people will learn to abide in the secret place of the Most High. And Psalm 91 is a refuge for God's people who are walking holy. Those that don't walk holy don't have any boldness towards God, don't have any faith towards God, and will get nothing from God, according to James chapter 1. Verse 12 says, I will make a man more rare than fine gold, even a man than the pure gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make the heavens to tremble, and the earth shall be shaken out of its place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. Amen. Thank you, Robin. That is so true, and it's coming very close. Saints, we're getting very close. I do pray that you will fear the Lord now, and because there are hard days coming. But for the righteous, let me just share a text with you. But for those who have been diligently seeking to follow the Lord, you know that Isaiah 61 is what Jesus preached at the very beginning of his man-child ministry, the beginning part of it. And, of course, we know that he was a parable also of a coming much larger body in whom he dwells to do the same thing in our day. Because in our day, he is dealing with a much larger Israel than he was in his day. And that is those who are circumcised in heart. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Well, here comes the man-child at the beginning of the tribulation with good tidings, good news for the meek. Not the froward, right, but the meek. And good news. Can there be good news at the beginning of the tribulation period? Not, according to some people, they're doing everything they can to talk themselves into flying away because they don't want to be here and they're so afraid of what's coming. And fear won't do anything to them except cause them to absorb the curse all around them. And they're not only they are guilty, but their teachers are guilty. They were guilty for not seeking out the Word, and their teachers are guilty for lying and deceiving them, telling them what they wanted to hear, making them happy so they paid lots of tithes and whatever. Preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Amen. You know, the same thing is happening, is going to happen this time. He's going to proclaim liberty to the captives. Think about those disciples who came out of those sects that they were in bondage to. Unto those men that Jesus said was from beneath, not from above. The ones, he said, you're of your father the devil. Again, the disciples found this hard to swallow in the beginning, but they learned pretty quickly when these people turned against them that Jesus told the truth. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Can you imagine that this is about to happen? Proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The man-child Jesus did this. He delivered his people. He went into the sheepfold. He called his own by name. And since they wouldn't listen to another, a false shepherd, they followed him out. And this is exactly what's going to happen in our day. Verse 2. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, we're coming to, I believe, a jubilee year here. And I do believe that the Lord is going to set the captives free and bring them out from under their bondage to their Egyptian old man in Egypt, and go to their promised land and live freely on their promised land. without the bondage of the old man who died in the Red Sea baptism, right? And the day of vengeance of our God. He is proclaiming the day of vengeance of God. Judgment is going to be everywhere. And the only way you can avoid it is to be in the secret place of the Most High, in God Himself. That is where you can avoid it. And to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning. In other words, He's going to heal His people's grief at what they've gone through. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Boy, I tell you, we have been getting into praise over here. I am. It's a wonderful thing. You can see the Lord blessing and setting people free. The praises of God are going forth in power, and I'm enjoying it. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Now look at the advantages of this blessing upon Zion that He speaks about here. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. When God's people once lived in their land, free, and conquered their enemies around them, and had dominion. The Lord says in Micah that He's going to restore that dominion that they had at the first. No, not to rule the world in that kind of a manner, but a type and a shadow of David and his kingdom is coming to rule over the old man. You know, they thought Jesus was going to help them beat the Romans when He came, but He really wanted them to rule over the old man. They were in bondage to the old man. Didn't matter if there was an army out there or not. They were in bondage to the old man. They weren't free. They weren't fit for the kingdom. And pretty much the same thing's coming this time. Jesus is coming again. No, not to give them dominion over the earth in a natural way. Who wants to be president, right? over a bunch of pagans that don't want to do right or do good. What a misery that would be. Well, but to give us total dominion over the curse around us, over the needs of God's people, over healing, blessings, so on and so forth. Dominion to demonstrate these things, to live a righteous life. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Saints, you think this can happen? I know it can. We've already had dreams about it happening. It is going to happen. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Do you think that the Lord is raising up a people to send them into the tribulation so that they slave 10 hours a day just to stay alive? I don't believe it. Listen, He didn't call us to that. We're going to fulfill the Great Commission. Look what He says. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. That's what they're going to be doing. Let somebody else raise the food. Let somebody else do the labor. But the Lord is going to give freely into the hands of these people so that they can do the work of the ministry. So that they can fulfill the Great Commission. Short time left to do that. But I tell you, God's going to shake the whole earth with these people. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. Yeah. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Now, I'm not going to really tell you, if you don't know already, how the Lord's going to do this. But if you hear His voice in the days to come, He is going to lead you and He's going to guide you. You will be where you need to be. They shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Wow, possess double. In a time when the world economy is crashing? Yeah. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery. You hear that, you thieves out there? With iniquity. And I will give them their recompense in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Anybody that's got a conscience at that time are going to see the blessings on these people and are going to be converted. And of course, multitudes will hate them because they have no gift of grace from God. Just like the faction don't have any gift of grace from God at the moment. But that's going to change. And for a lot of people, in different other kinds of factions like denominationalism and sectarianism and so on, people that have a conscience, a gift from God, are going to repent and turn to Him. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. What does the garment of salvation look like? Well, it looks like Jesus. He is manifestly saved. You know, we're all saved by faith, but Jesus is manifestly saved. When you walk and you talk and you live Jesus, that's the manifestation of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth its bud, as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Well, that's good news for Zion, right? 62:1 says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her righteousness go forth as the brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burneth. You can imagine. I remember in Isaiah 60:1, he says, arise and shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon thee. The nations shall come to thy light, the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Wow. You know, this great darkness, the darkness of this world, these lights will shine brightly in this great darkness. This is going to arise upon the bride. This is spoken to Zion, by the way, verse 14. This great light is going to go forth. Those that sat in darkness saw a great light. It's going to go forth from the man-child through the bride to the world. And back in 62 it says, until her righteousness go forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burneth. And the nations shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Boy, I do desire this for God's people. I've had friends that, you know, through mistake, through things they were hiding, fell into the faction, and I love them still. And I really desire this for them. And I do believe the Lord is going to do this for them. We've received over the years, and I've kept them all, dreams, everyone that was sent to me in text, I've kept it, you know. Dreams of those that would repent, and dreams of some who would not repent. And I desire this for all of God's people. You know, this bride is an opportunity that you can lose right now. And time is running out. He goes on in verse 4, Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. It will be very busy. That land will be very, very busy soon. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, praise the Lord, and thy land of Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a, see if you can take this naturally, not really. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. What is he talking about? He's talking about the man child and the bride. The bride is going to receive the seed of the man child, Jesus, right? And bring forth the fruit of Jesus, as in the parable of the sower. You know, the sower went forth to sow the seed, and the seed was the word of God, and he sowed it in the hearts of men. And sadly, one out of four brought forth the fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So, the sons of God we're talking about here. The first manifestation of the sons of God in our time is going to be the man-child ministry. But through this, many sons will come to glory. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. And I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day or night, ye that are the Lord's remembrancers. Take ye no rest, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, I think I'm pretty much obeying him there. Not getting a whole lot of rest. I'm staying very busy. And the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy grain to be food for thine enemies, and foreigners shall not drink thy new wine for which thou hast labored. Notice, you know, who the promise is to now. I mean, not everybody who's called a Christian will enter into this, but those who truly are will. They that have garnered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. They that have gathered it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. What gates do you think? The gates that lead into salvation? The salvation that is behind Zion's broad walls? Cast up the highway. The highway of holiness that leads to Zion? Gather out the stones. That's the stumbling blocks in the way to Zion. There are many of them. And the Lord is going to bring judgment upon them. He's going to move them out of the way so that there may be a quick work in his day. I remember Mary's dream about the leadership of apostate Christianity being in those days. We wouldn't have called it that when we had that particular revelation, but it was like a FEMA camp. And it was the leaders of Christianity that they had gathered, that they have in their computer system. The Lord gave us a revelation the other day of the Lord taking certain names out of their computer and replacing them with others in a spiritual way. And I got to tell you, the Lord's got a plan. There are a lot of stumbling blocks out there that proclaim a false Christianity, and they're going to be removed. And God's going to use the beast to do it. Remember, the beast is the one that devours the harlot, swallows them up, right? Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Judgment is coming ahead of the Lord, just ahead of him. And I believe it will be tsunamis, earthquakes, economic, and the Lord will be in our midst. But as before, none of the wicked will recognize him. None of the wicked that call themselves Christians will recognize him. While they're waiting for him to come from the sky and take them away as though they were righteous, he'll be here, gathering together the saints, the sanctified ones. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And then it goes on to talk about the Lord's judgment on Edom. Is trampling out the vintage of Edom. And Edom, of course, is those who have persecuted God's people. And they're about to get a trampling. Well, Father, with all those that love you, Lord, we ask for revival. We ask that you do a great work, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think, that you do a great work. Let us rejoice in your salvations, your healings, your deliverances, your love, your changing of hearts. Let us rejoice in what you're going to do, Lord, in a great way. You are a great God. You are a great Savior, and you have much mercy. And as you have said in Isaiah 61, you're going to preach good tidings, and it will be received by the meek. You're going to heal the brokenhearted. You're going to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those that are bound, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Lord, we need your favor. We need your grace. We need your mercy. Please, do a swift work in our day, Lord, and an awesome work in our day, Lord. Father, draw us unto you. Please finish the work that you've started. Please sweep all the corners of our houses. Please get us prepared, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness towards us. Amen. Well, saints, God bless you and keep you. Draw close to the Lord. We're very, very close now to both judgment and blessings.